Live from the CBS Bay Area studios, this is KPIX 5 News.
Now on KPIX 5, renew efforts to clear San Francisco streets of open-air drug markets. Good afternoon, I'm Brian Yamamoto. San Francisco Mayor London Breed announcing a stronger partnership between city officials and law enforcement to create new efforts to confront the open-air drug market, especially narcotics in the Tenderloin. Police say they are committed to readjusting their crackdown by addressing both drug sellers and drug users, while the DA's office is promising more aggressive policies that will charge criminals if any fentanyl death is linked to them.
There has to be consequences. There has to be accountability. We cannot be the city where people think that they can come to San Francisco, or if they live in San Francisco, and just do whatever they please, and nobody's going to say anything or do anything. And I guarantee you, we are not that city.
Chief Scott says since June, they have given out more than 350 citations to people who are using in public places. A Weed resident who lost his home in last month's deadly mill fire has filed a lawsuit against the lumber mill where that fire started. This is at least the third lawsuit accusing Roseburg Forest Products of not having a working sprinkler system.
It's going to take years, and it's going to take money, and it's going to take resources. So, you know, I think the depth of the problem is far wider, it's far deeper, and the scars on this community will be with this community for decades.
Roseburg has not commented on the lawsuit. The company has already set up a $50 million relief fund. So far, more than 1,700 people have now signed up. Well, this Saturday is the five-year anniversary of the Wine Country wildfires. The series of firestorms served as a wake-up call for the Bay Area. The Tubbs Fire caused the most devastation in Napa and Sonoma counties. 22 people died. More than 6,000 homes were destroyed. The North Bay also experienced more disasters, including the Kincaid Fire in 2019, along with the Wallbridge and Glass Fires in 2020. And as we head into October, KPXY's Wilson Walker shows us how some neighbors in Sonoma County are now taking fire safety into their own hands.
You fill it with 5 gallons of water, which we all know is 40 pounds because it's 8 pounds per gallon of water. And then you are ready to go shoot things.
Firefighting backpacks, pump systems small and large, and a defense system for the entire home.
So one thing people forget about is making sure that the fitting that you have is going to fit the fire engine hoses.
Alina Hagler has taken every possible step to protect her ridgetop property from the threat haunting the hills of West Sonoma County.
When the winds are blowing from the east in October, this gets to be very, I have a little bit of wind PTSD, I think most of us do.
I happen to be watching the observation cameras when the Wallbridge fire started, so it came really close.
Liza Loop took the trauma of 2020 and turned it into a problem-solving challenge.
This is the first one that I'd seen that met all the criteria that I needed. Ha, I've got free power, and I'll keep myself cooler because I've got free power.
But her new solar-powered battery isn't just for her. It's a campaign tool in her effort to better prepare her neighbors on the edge of Guerneville.
So in doing the community organizing I do, I can say, come and see this thing and see whether you want it for yourself.
This is historical fire maps.
About 10 miles to the west, Hagler has been working with her neighbors trying to get everyone aligned on evacuation plans for narrow, winding roads. Her message is simple and direct.
These are where the fires have been historically. This is where you live. We need you to put it together that your area is fire prone, and you need to know your evacuation number and how would you get out. You need to make a plan.
This civilian mobilization is one result of 5 years marked by repeated fire disasters. More and more people taking their own steps to get equipped and be prepared. And that means reaching out to neighbors who may not be.
I think part of it is why people live out in these rural communities. You know, they aren't always the people who wanted to do things the standard way. And I totally respect that. And I don't want to tell people what to do. Mostly what we want to do is give them the options and give them the information, and then they have to make a decision.
Self-reliance is an old idea here, And that is why many are taking their own initiative.
It's really nice to say, oh, the first responders will come and save me. But they can't do that for everybody. So you really want to have your neighborhood organized.
Mobilizing, finding solutions, reaching out to neighbors, and trying to adapt to this new era of fire risk.
So I don't think that historically people who had lived here, I mean, they knew that fire existed, but I think the level of fire, the size of the fires, I don't think we were expecting that. I know I wasn't.
In Sonoma County, Wilson Walker, KPIX 5.
Okay, let's get the first alert meteorologist, Darren Peck. We're only 5 days in October, so knock on wood, right?
Yeah, still very much in fire season. And we haven't been talking about it a lot because we haven't had to. So in light of the story we just showed with fire preparations in Sonoma County, I want to look ahead about 5 days because that's our next small opportunity to see things change a little bit and perhaps get one of those classic fall offshore wind events, which are a little bit more of a concern when it comes to fire weather. The first thing you'd see as we look at next Tuesday, there's a weak little system coming our way, but it's coming in the wrong direction. It's coming in too far north. That's likely going to turn into an inside slider. It's going to go down to our east. We need a storm like that to come in down here. If it comes in up there, it overshoots us. And what happens is we end up feeling it in the wind. If we just look at what that system does to the wind streams, can you see how those are northeast winds coming into California? That's the possibility from this for next week. But we're too far out to say it's definitely going to happen. That system could shift to the west. Maybe we get rain out of it. Bottom line, we're going to have some interesting weather next week and see how that system plays out. We've got more interesting weather this week, considering it's Fleet Week. Look what's going on at the Golden Gate right now. When we check back in the complete first alert forecast, we're going to talk about that Fleet Week forecast and the warm-up we're about to have. For now, Ryan, back to you.
Thanks, Darren. President Biden landed in Florida this morning to tour the devastation left by Hurricane Ian. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis greeted the president and first lady in Fort Myers. This is video from Marine One, the presidential helicopter. That storm killed at least 109 people, 55 of them in Lee County alone. Hundreds of thousands of people are still without power. And CBS News is partnering with the Red Cross on hurricane relief efforts. To donate, just go to cbsnews.com/Red Cross. Okay, let's take a look at the big board right now on Wall Street. After a couple days in positive territory, it is, well, it's still, now it's back up after being in the red for most of the day, now up 48 points. And the price you pay for a gallon of gas may become even more expensive. OPEC now planning to slash oil production by 2 million barrels a day starting next month. This is the biggest cut since the start of the pandemic. It comes after months of oil production increases to get back to pre-pandemic levels. Right now, the cost of a gallon of gas in San Francisco is $6.64. That's $1.20 higher than this time last month. Well, Fleet Week highlights the partnership between San Francisco and the military, and our Lauren Toms was on board the USS Harper's Ferry as it docked here in the bay, where she got a taste of the teamwork it takes to feed everyone on board.
So you fill those out and just you leave them right here, and we take care of it for y'all.
It's mealtime in the wardroom on the USS Harper's Ferry, where CS Ayasha Rudder has been leading a culinary team for about 6 months.
So she asked for ribs, potato wedges and green beans. We'll just put it on here decently, of course, and just give it to her.
The ship is bringing hundreds of Marines to San Francisco for Fleet Week on top of their 200 Navy officers that live on board.
Breakfast, lunch and dinner for about, right now we have like 500 people, including Marines.
That's 1,500 meals a day.
It is tedious. Physically, mentally, everything, but it's not for the weak.
Rudder was born in Guyana, where her mother and grandmother taught her to cook.
I do it the way I was taught. We season everything, and we don't cook it right away. So we season it, and we let it marinate a little bit, and then we cook it. So the flavor and everything is right there.
She's a long way from home, but she keeps her passion alive both in
there we go.
And out.
You're welcome.
Of the galley.
Sometimes I want to come to work, do my job and leave, but I can't. I go the extra mile in everything I do, even taking care of my my shipmates, I might not go the extra mile for me as a person, but I more than go the extra mile for my shipmates.
You can taste it in her food, the pride she has for her ship, her role, and her story.
My mom, she tells me every day, like, I'm proud of you. Like, yeah, thank you. I know your grandmother would be proud of you too. I'm like, yeah, everybody tells me that, but it's still like, I always feel like I could do more as a person. So it's more to do with somebody in the military.
Lauren Toms, KPIX 5.
And our special coverage continues through the week on air and online. We've also posted a link to the Fleet Week event schedule. That's on KPIX.com.